Okay, we're going to take your phone calls this hour. Questions, stories, maybe your abduction cases. Lori and Fenton, Robert Perella with us next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Robert Perella back with us. Lori and Fenton as well. And we will take your calls too. Robert, how much research is done with some of these abductees? You know, since Bud Hopkins has passed on and people like that, John Mack, is anybody carrying that torch?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you take a look at all the guys that are, and the women that are down there contacting the desert. I mean, there's, some of their research is just remarkable. I think Richard Dolan certainly stands out as one of the best in my book. I had long conversations with him. Other people that are doing some of the good research. Well, I don't know. You have them on your show. I would say listen to Coast.
They're all here.
Yeah, they're all there.
They're all here. Now, tell me about how did you meet up with Lorian?
Wow, we met up at, I think, didn't we meet up at an expo or something like that?
We
I think
did.
Maybe,
we
what, did you see me speak or something? And then we hooked up and we realized we were living only an hour apart. And we knew all the same people. We had a lot of people kind of coming to us either way, you know. And so we said, well, how are we going to talk to these people and what are we going to tell them? You know, how do we help these people? And not all of them needed help. Some of them were quite together, weren't they, Lorian?
Oh, yes, definitely. We have a lot of friends in common that have had many, many experiences of varying kinds. And, you know, one of the things that Robert's really good about is the people who are having contact that don't ever see any type of extraterrestrial alien, like myself. I've had contact my entire life, but it's been with, like, for example, I'm driving down over the Golden Gate Bridge, George, and it's pouring down rain. I'm coming from a doctor's appointment, and I hear this voice in my head say, slow down and get in the right lane.
I've had that happen to me, too, Lorian.
Isn't that weird? And I'm thinking, okay, right. You know, but this is not the, this is like the 50th time it's happened to me. And I know better, but that day I was kind of in an angry mood and I wanted to get home, so I'm in the fast lane going 70 over the Golden Gate Bridge, which you're not even supposed to be doing. And, of course, I'm doing it. And I hear again at the end of the Golden Gate Bridge, slow down, get in the right lane now. And it's screaming at me. So I did. I slowed down. I got in the right lane. I go through the Waldo Tunnel, you know, the tunnel with the rainbow over it.
Sure do.
And I get to just to the other side of that, and I swear to you, George, I've never seen anything like this in my life. A car coming on 101 going towards the Golden Gate Bridge is flying over the medium, went straight up in the air 25 feet, turned over on itself, landed like a sandwich on top of another car in the right lane right next to
me. You would have been dead.
I would have been dead.
Again.
I hadn't moved lanes. I'm sorry, they were in the left lane. I was in the far right lane, and I would have been dead. And I was right there, and I watched all these people die. And it was horrific. But in the same breath, I'm thinking, why are they talking to me like this? Do I have something I've got to do? And that goes back to the time when I was taken in the middle of the night by an entity by the side of the bed. Now, I tell people, I've never seen anything, but there's an entity standing by the bed, and I know it for a fact because they touched me on my forehead, and they just lightly touched me, and I fell asleep. The next thing I know, I'm in a place of absolute love and light, and it's beautiful, and I just want to be there so bad, and it's gorgeous. And then I hear this voice saying, you've got work to do, and then the next thing I know, I'm slammed in my bed. And so is that contact, or what is that, you know? I have no idea. Did I die? Did I go, you know, meet an angel? You know, what happened?
Could have been a classic OBE. Might have
Could've been
one of those two. Robert, tell us, before we go to calls, about this strange case of a Mr. D. What is that?
Well, like I said, this guy had these extraordinary abilities, and he drew this, like, electrocardiogram. When I took it to the nurse, she couldn't believe that it could be done by hand. But there was more to the story. My dad was dying at the time, and he was living up north of me. And I was, as I was talking to Mr. D, and I can't really reveal his name, sorry, but because he wanted to remain anonymous, he was telling me more and more about how he occupies this body and basically where he comes from. This is what I call somebody that has like stepped into somebody that's using this vehicle or this particular form. And he told me that, you know, that how the cows get manipulated in the field and everything. We've had encounters where we have extraterrestrials who have had, you know, some sort of vested interest in the cows and everything. He said, well, your dad has somehow drank some milk from a cow that from the dairy, and that has caused a virus in his lungs. Well, I wouldn't have thought anything of that really until, you know, he said he's going to die in about probably around 3 months. And there'll be a huge breakthrough from this. I said, breakthrough? I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, you know, you'll know when you get there. Well, when my dad died, the doctor came in the room and he said, listen, the disease he has is pulmonary veno-occlusive. There's only 34 known patients in this country since 1935. He said, I never thought I'd ever see a case like this ever again. God. And it's a huge find. Can we do an autopsy of his lungs? Because we want to do some more research. It's not so much that we're interested in the disease to try to help people because there aren't any known cases. 34 people since 1935, there's not enough, there's no vested interest to pursue it. But he said what it is it's a huge breakthrough for us for lung diseases because it's an equation that we're looking for. So however he got this disease, I don't know, and I didn't tell him that this gentleman told me that it was coming from some sort of virus in the cow's milk. But when, you know, he died, by the doctor said, because of this condition, he said, this is a huge breakthrough in the medical field. And I thought, my dad dies and gives a huge gift before he leaves because there's some kind of extraterrestrial contact. And this is kind of hard for the mind to get around that. But, sure, you know, then the whole science is like that, isn't it?
Let's take some calls here. Let's go to Stephen in East Tennessee to get things going. Stephen, welcome to the program.
How you doing tonight?
Good, Stephen. Thank you.
Well, I kind of wanted to tell a story. I'll make it as short as possible. I was in seventh grade. And so me and my family, we were living near Asheville, North Carolina, and coming back from Columbia, South Carolina, where we're originally from. And on the way up I-40, we saw something, and you know, everybody says that, but I distinctly remember it. I remember looking out of the windows, and my mom saw it, I saw it, my little brother even saw it. My stepfather, he's sketchy on it, but it's a different story.
Why was he sketchy on it? He doesn't want to believe he saw it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay, good. You follow where I'm going.
Yep.
He's uber religious, and he can't mesh the two things together.
Right. Right.
Just with his upbringing, but so we're driving along, and the next thing we're home, and the next morning he actually is the one that went outside, and he comes back inside because you know I got school the next day, and he's like, Tina, who's my mom, he goes, why did you erase all the presets on the radio? The time's wrong, everything. And we got to thinking about it. We're like, we don't remember coming home last night. But I can tell you what we saw when we looked out the windows. And my mom remembers a little bit more than we do. There was a craft. It's huge. And I-40 is not lit up as you're coming up Saluda Grade. I don't know how to explain where that is. But if you're coming out up into Asheville, it's not lit up. There's no street lights at the time. There may be now. But it was bright, like floodlights. And I've since been in the military and been in law enforcement. And that's the only equivalent as to how bright it was that I know of. And I remember looking up, and there were three distinct lights, two red, one blue. And it took up the entire interstate. As I looked about, you couldn't see any stars, all right? But it was jet black, other than the three lights. And it didn't make any noise. It was quiet. And I remember rummaging through the car, trying to look out the windows, and my mom's like, get back in the car. And my stepfather was driving.
It was the classic sighting.
I guess it was, but the only thing that's truly lasting is that all of us have a scar on our arm now. It's a small half moon on my left arm.
Let's check in with the experts here for just a second here. Robert Orlorian, a small scar on his arm, and they all have it? Sounds like they were abducted and something happened. They were probed or operated on.
I'm going to cut in here real quick before Robert does, because I know he's got his opinion about this, but I absolutely think that that might have been our military secret space program working with the aliens. And it sounds like your family may be part of a group of that they're following generationally. Has your mother ever talked to you about being taken before or as a child? Has she ever mentioned anything to you?
No, but she pays really close attention now. But no, not specifically, no, ma'am.
Interesting. Is this the only time this has ever happened to you before?
Yes, the only thing after that I can recall, and my mom actually helped. You know how sometimes you get like a zit? Well, I had one in my ear, and it was really bothering me. I guess I was probably, I was in high school, and I can't see my ear. So I said, Mom, can you help me with this? So she looked at it, and she popped it. And when she popped it, a metallic thing came out. And she kept it for years.
Like a little piece of rice, but it was metallic, I bet.
Yes, that is 100% correct, yeah.
I know these.
Oh, boy.
We got one, George.
Yep, there's one. Too bad we don't have Roger Lear with us anymore, Robert.
Oh,
I know. God bless you.
He would have been all over this case. Okay, we'll take a few other calls, but you had the classic, Stephen, the classic case, and you might very well have had an implant and everything else. What do you think, Robert, that the implants might be? Tracking devices or?
Yeah. Well, my first question for the gentleman would be, like, was there missing time? And that has to be considered. But, yeah, definitely. A lot of people are chipped. It's normal. It's a way of kind of monitoring us. We're basically, you know, a shared experience, and they're interested in us to see us grow and see how emotionally we respond and everything else. Much like we chip an animal in the forest.
What if it's a chip to control the mind? Is that possible?
It actually can very well be. You know, there's actually. There's a guy, there's a German named Harald Kautz-Welle. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's in Germany. The guy is a specialist in social engineering and mind control, and he basically says that many, many people are chipped, including when they find Morgellons disease. It's artificial intelligence, and it's coming from a number of sources. It can be actually found in chemtrails, it can be found in vaccines, and it can be found with people that claim they have contact with something very unusual.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Allison, somewhere on the West Coast. Hello, Allison.
Hi there. My question has to do about multiple births and contact or abduction. I'm a triplet, and I am a lifelong Nordic, a tall white contactee, and I had a really weird experience with my sisters, who are all over the country, and I went to bed one night, and I woke up on my balcony, and I watched this ship come in, and then I woke up in my bed, and I didn't know how I got there. And then my sister called me, my triplet sister, who called me 2 hours north of me and described a tall Nordic man in front of her house. And she then went on to describe a very specific part of his uniform, which had to do with a lacy, like a scarf. And so I decided to call my other sisters. It all happened at the same time, who lived on the East Coast, and we're on the West Coast. And my other sister called, and well, she said she described somebody in her living room, a tall Nordic man, and a lacy scarf, very specific. And I've never talked to them about the tall Nordics before, and this happened in 2010. So I'm wondering if there's any research or anything I could look into about multiple births and contact.
Well, I don't know about an exact book, but I will tell you this, that, you know, there are 11 books to Matthew. And if in book 3, it talks about humanity coming from the house of Pleiades. It also says this in the lost books of Job. And there's a lot of indication that says that humanity is actually coming from what they call these houses. The Bible refers to it as the seven sisters, but it's largely also mentions the word Pleiades in these books. And I think it's a foregone almost conclusion that we're coming here from different spheres, like the Pleiades and like Cirrus, etc., which is referenced in Ancient Aliens even. Then we're coming here and we're having a human experience. And so in that, I think, you know, we have a stellar heritage, and I think we wake up to it and we find out that we have, you know, like a brother or a sister that also shares something very unusual. And the Tall Nordics are really largely coming out of what we call the Pleiades. I think there's enough reference to say that that's substantiated somewhat.
And for both of you, when you talk about redefining the experiencer, what is forcing that redefining? Lorian?
Yeah, I absolutely believe it's time, George, because, you know, not since 1972 and Heine came up with the first, you know, description, as anybody sat down and said, look, things have totally changed. It's been 50 years, you know, or 35 or whatever it's been. And we're sitting here, and, you know, the caller just now is a prime example of somebody who's having extraordinary experiences. And, you know, earlier in the show, you mentioned to Robert about how you don't think there's as many extraordinary cases now because we had Barney Hill and the Andrews.
Yeah, and you would think we would.
Yeah, George, I think we are having them, but I think they're not being talked about because they're not getting out there to the mainstream media except for on Coast to Coast. That's it. And not that Coast to Coast isn't the end-all and be-all of everything, because it is. But
I know. I mean, some internet shows are doing a great job doing this to get
there
the word
out. There's some great, you know, there's great stuff out there, but still, the mainstream people don't know about these cases, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of them. I hear hundreds a month. Honest to God, George, I do. I hear hundreds a month.
Well, we're also getting a lot of disappearing people all around this planet. Is it conceivable, Robert and Lorian, we'll go with you first, Robert, that these people are disappearing because they're being picked up, abducted, and not returned?
Well, not to put fear out there, but there's a certain amount of that. The other aspect is, you know, who and why are they important? Why would they be important to whatever is taking them? But we are missing definitely some people. I don't know. Pick up on that one, Lorian.
Well, I don't like to talk about it too much, George, because I absolutely believe that this is happening. And it's a very scary proposition, and I am going to cover it a little bit in the book about the contactees who are having negative experiences, because there have been two or three noted experiencers out there over the years that have come back to say that they have seen body parts in the craft.
Oh, boy. That's just
and
what
and
we
that
need.
Just freaks me out when I think about it. So I don't, you know, what are we going to say? Are they eating us? I mean, you know, what's going on here?
Well, maybe we're a farm for them.
Oh, boy.
Never stopped to think about that?
Yeah, I have.
Hey, Lauren, give us your website.
Oh, my website is laurianfenton.com, just like robertperala.com. We both have our names, and we're both using those for most of our adventures together. And so I am putting on a conference here coming up pretty soon for experiencers. If you want to check that out, they can go to caufocon.com.
caufocon.com.
Correct, for California UFO Con.
All right, great. And we're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take final phone calls in this rapidly fast-going night before Labor Day. Don't forget, we're going to be live tomorrow night as well. So after you're done having your fun, just sit back and relax and listen to Coast AM. I'll be right back with your final calls. Okay, George Norrie back with you, along with Lorian Fenton and Robert Perella, and our final segment here where we will take your phone calls. Lorian, as you look at all these issues we've talked about today, are you conducting any specific research or anything like that?
Absolutely, George. I'm trying to put together, it's very interesting you brought it up. Okay, there's free out there right now, the Edgar Mitchell group that's doing all the surveys about experiencers and categorizing them and putting them into like what I call A-B data. In other words, you know, we'll know how many people had a near-death experiences and how many people had this type of experience and blah, blah, blah. And that's wonderful. And MUFON is doing the same thing. They have their questionnaires for experiencers, and I love what they're doing. What I want to do is I want to take it one step further. I want to start having the experiencers themselves pick the experience they're having and the category that they think they fall into and start doing verbal surveys where they become a YouTube survey of verbal accounts, just like being on this show tonight and talking about all their accounts, and then people can go and listen to them. They can pick up categories saying, I had dealings with greys and reptilians and this is what happened to me, and we'll have 15 people with 15 or 20 minutes telling their story, and they can go to YouTube and they can hear that whole category of those experiences, and they can feel like they're not alone. They finally have found 10 other people that are having the same experiences. They're right there on YouTube, and they can start deciding what their experience falls into, whether it's this category or the next category or so on. So I hope that that's going to become kind of like a verbal, history of what's going on with the experiencers out there.
And how about you, Robert? Any research there?
Yeah, I'm working on a case with a man in Poland, and for quite a while now, he's been receiving 45-minute transmissions where he writes down these transmissions that are brought forth. They're a form of hieroglyphics. You can see them at my website at rarella.com. I was fascinated by this, and I asked him. I said, "Well, you know, why do you think that they picked you?" He says, "I don't know. It's a group of female entities who basically are some kind of collective, and they're able to speak inside his head and guide his right hand." And he writes these automatic writings from right to left rather than left to right, and he writes them reversed out as well. And we took the one of the writings and we held it up to a mirror, and mm-hmm. suddenly all of a sudden we were able to decode some of it, where we realized there were T's and J's and F's, and that some of it was halfway audible. And he was also describing pointing out a number of things regarding the crop circles. But he receives these transmissions daily that last about 45 minutes while he writes, and I have literally stacks and a few small stack of these, and he has volumes of it. And so we know that somehow ET, shares our experience uses our bodies, listens to our thoughts. I think we're coming from that aspect. I think that they obviously are just sharing our experience. And with this gentleman, he's in Poland. He's getting these writings, daily. So,
what do you think of the Billy Meyer case out in Switzerland, Robert?
Well, I think Billy's the real thing. I've always felt he was the real thing. I knew Randolph Winters when he was touring. I don't know, I haven't heard from him for years. But, I think that, the sightings were quite authentic, don't you, Lorraine?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Michael Horn was with us just recently,
yeah.
And we were all having dinner together talking about it. And, I absolutely have felt that it's a real case too, George. There's too many people saying it's not. When you start getting that many people fighting against the case and your gut just says, it's got to be real. Whether everything is real about it, I don't know. But I absolutely believe that Billy Meyer is having contact with the same type of beings that maybe George Adamski had.
Mm-hmm.
This very good, loving, beautiful beings.
And he did all this filming without special effects,
absolutely,
as we have today.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Eric is in South Georgia, east of the Rockies. Eric, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I had an interesting experience with my 4-year-old just earlier this last week. We were just driving. I got 5 kids. So we're in a van, and my wife and I are in the front. My 4-year-old just started telling us a story. I mean, not like a, I'm making up a story, just distractedly, he's looking out the window about these guys or bad guys that came in and were poking at him and playing with him. And we're trying to prompt him. And you know, we just moved to Georgia here like a month ago. So, you know, my wife and I are, you know,
freaking out over it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the way he went around describing, my wife and I are like, gosh, this sounds like this stuff I hear on this radio. And I'm like, my concern is this, how early does this stuff manifest? And I mean, is this something he's going to remember? I don't know.
Laura, let's start with you. What's happening here?
Well, it sounds to me, and again, you know, most kids that are being contacted, it's not just the children that are being contacted. I really hate to say that to the gentleman on the phone call, but it's probably generational. It always usually seems to be, if they're being poked and prodded, it seems to be the Grays, and it seems to be a higher agenda with the Praying Mantis beings, and there's usually some kind of generational following to that. Has anybody else in the family had any experiences at all that they remember? That would be my first question.
I had when I was 13, I was just hanging out at night with a buddy on the lawn, and we were looking at the stars. This isn't a prodding incident, but I remember vividly seeing one star or whatever moving towards another one, and there was a flash, and that the one that hadn't moved disappeared. The one that originally moved back the opposite direction. So in my mind, clearly not a satellite.
Any missing time for you at all, Eric?
No. I'm sitting there with my buddy pointing and saying, do you see this?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the stars at night, really bright in Texas, and he couldn't see it. Well, it went, and it actually got into a bigger one, which then moved away at an incredible distance, considering the incredible speed. I mean, gosh dang, I'd say probably moved a foot or 2 feet in the skyline in the span of 30 seconds. I mean, just, and was gone within a minute, you know, and I was freaked out, but that's the only kind of odd occurrence that I've had that I recall.
You know, this brings up something very interesting. I was telling Robert when we first started talking about the whole experiencer events and the different types of experiencers that there are people who have just seen a UFO, but I think it goes much deeper than that. I just absolutely think that if you saw that in the sky, it makes total sense to me that your child is having an experience now, because more than likely you've been having experiences your entire life and you don't remember. And that's what we're calling now the unconscious contactee, a person like myself. I don't remember ever having contact with any type of physical, gray, reptilian, any type of alien. I'm like my good friend Barbara Lamb, who walks up to the reptilian in her living room.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. I have no idea. But I can tell you this, George, I'm now seeing triangle UFOs. I'm having more and more contact, and I didn't see anything till I was 57 years old.
Are you glad you're having these contacts?
Yeah, I am, but I gotta tell you something really funny. The other night I'm leaving, I work at Hamilton Air Force Base in Marin County, and it's very scary there. I feel like there's a lot of ghost activity there for some reason, but it is an old Air Force base, so you must know what those are like, you know. Just, you know, there's got to be military guys hanging out there at the officers' club that's all boarded up, having a party in the afterlife. But anyhow, I'm leaving there, and I go down the stairs, and I'm going out to the parking lot, and I'm thinking, okay, you guys, show yourself. I'm ready for it now. And then I realized, oh, my God, I'm so fearful. If they did show themselves, I'd probably have a heart attack. So, you know, maybe it's me that's causing them not to show themselves in a physical way. Maybe I'm only ready for the mental experiences, the voice in my head, the touching on the forehead and going to sleep. And, you know, maybe those are all that I'm ready for. Maybe that's all I'll ever be ready for. But that type of person, that type of experiencer needs to be recognized, as well as the person like Whitley Strieber, who's having the kind of contact where they're just walking into their bedroom and saying hi, you know. So that's my cause right now, George, is to get us, as people who are having these extraordinary experiences but without the physical, like, hi, shake your hand contact, to be recognized as well, because I think a lot of those people have something extraordinary to say, And I think they're going to contribute going into the future about how the experiencer is redefined.
And Robert, have you had any episodes since the one that happened back in 1977?
I did. October 14th, 1989, I was startled awake and I saw what looked like a little gray man standing there by the door. He was sort of, the door was just half closed, and I saw just half of his face, half of his body, and he was pointing a tube at me. And when you see something like that, you come out of the sleep and you just stand there and look at it, it paralyzes you. And the next thing I knew, I said, I was either going to take what was coming to me or I was going to run up and take this thing away from him. I ran, just leapt out of bed, and I suddenly heard this crash. And the next thing I knew is I opened my eyes and I was on the floor and I was looking at the floor sideways and I realized I'd run full speed into the door and I'd knocked myself out.
Oh. Ezekiel is in Tacoma, Washington. Hello, Ezekiel.
Good evening, George. Thank you guys for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Very briefly, I just want to touch on something that you guys had touched on earlier because I really feel like I'm onto something here and I'm really trying to get some experts' help. If, in fact, earlier you guys had mentioned, you know, heart. You guys have mentioned the vibrations of the earth. You guys have mentioned the electromagnetic field around the earth, and all of these things are changing. Basically, my question comes down to this. If, in fact, a solid is just vibrating at a lower attenuation frequency than anything else, right? The solids around us are just our perception of solids. So if that's, in fact, the case, then maybe what we all are is some sort of, think of us like an antenna. If you're vibrating at 441 and I'm vibrating at 440 and somebody else is vibrating at 445, then our attenuation for some of these different things that we see and experience could be based on that system of vibration, that we're able to attenuate with these frequencies of these particular aliens or particular people or particular whatever these entities are that people are experiencing are all based on our perception of those vibrations and those vibrations' abilities to inflect our life. Guys, got any input on that?
Oh, I do.
I knew you would, Lorian.
Oh, God. I'm absolutely in tune with you. I absolutely believe that as well. That is exactly what I think is going on here. And I think because of our pole shift, because of heart, because of all the interference and enhancement to these different vibrational frequencies, that we are coming closer and closer to these other dimensions. And I don't know how many we're going to hit. You know, maybe we'll hit the one right next to us or the one a little further down or, you know, I don't know. Maybe these different vibrational frequencies for each one of us hit a different dimension. You know, that's another possibility. And we also have the fact that our minds are basically holographic creator generators. We create everything that's around us. One of my favorite things to tell people to do so they can start getting into their head and understanding what's going on with their own consciousness and find out who they really are as a soul being is I tell them, pretend you're Helen Keller. Close your eyes, plug your ears, don't talk, don't smell, don't do anything. Just become totally a vapor of darkness and nothing. And as soon as you can do that and find out who you are within that, that's where you create from. That's where love comes from. That's where the whole world is developed from, is from that spot in our consciousness.
Robert, a minute to go. I'd let you do some wrap-up here for us. What's new?
Well, you know, Wayne Dyer, the passing of Wayne Dyer certainly needs to be mentioned. You know, he's a wonderful teacher in personal growth. I think it needs to be said that, you know, I always say, practice mindfulness, practice these things. Practice the virtues of tolerance and forgiveness and selflessness and unconditional love. When we practice these things, our natural light and vibration will just pick up. He wrote a wonderful book called You'll See It When You Believe It, which is as opposed to I'll believe it when I see it. You have to believe first. And this is also what your previous guest, Vincent Jenna, said. When we believe it, then it's going to open up the door of our perception, and then we're going to be able to allow maybe that that meeting between something from the other side to, you know, to come forth. And I always say, love yourselves more deeply. You'll get better results.
You got it. Robert, thanks for being on the program. Lorian, you
George.
Too.
Thank you, George.
Appreciate both of you. Thank you. And websites linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget, we've got a live program for you on Labor Day night. As we wrap up the Labor Day weekend, that only gives us a few more holidays left this year. Thanksgiving, Christmas, that's it. That's the year. Unbelievable. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lautasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boris, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.